This podcast is brought to you by Homul Casino Resort, the player's place.
For our Friday, Josh Stein, assistant general manager for the San Diego Padres, is going to join us at 7:35, early Friar Friday guest. Darren Smith will join us at 8:35 this morning, just keep you up to date. But even though the Padres did not play yesterday, there was other action in Major League Baseball, and a couple of teams helping out the San Diego Padres, as the San Francisco Giants Woods completed a three-game sweep of the Chicago Cubs on a walk-off single by Jung-Hoo Lee in the bottom of the ninth inning. 4-3 the final, as the Cubs, giving up some ground, are now just one game ahead of the Padres in the race for the top wild card spot, which is, of course, important because only the number one wild card team gets home field advantage in the wild card series, best of three.
Yeah, we talked about it on the roundtable yesterday, and I think everybody, for once, agreed. It is it's pretty imperative, I think, that the San Diego Padres, Benny, make as strong of a push as they can to get home field advantage. If you're a wild card team, so be it. I mean, we kind of penciled that in at the beginning of the year. If you were going to make the playoffs, you're probably going to be a wild card team, and that's okay. But getting home field, I think, is imperative for this team.
Although I thought it was interesting that the point that was brought up, how hard do you want to push? Because if you push all month with all your might and still end up a little bit short, you'll probably go back and go, man, we could have rested some guys. We could have kind of set ourselves up a little bit better for the postseason and not worried so much about home field advantage or even winning the division and just gone in, you know, as much at full strength as we can to October as possible.
It's just you don't really want to change anything. Big drastic changes. The perfect example is last night we sat down to dinner and we had the Phillies game on, and the Phillies were beating the Braves at this point 15-3. And Aaron Nola is still out there, and it's the sixth. He's already qualified for a win. It's a guaranteed dub. He's at 78 pitches, and I wondered aloud to Bo. I said, do you see anything interesting there? And he goes, no. And I said, well, what happens? I told him, wouldn't you, if you were the manager, let him get to about 75 pitches, knowing you're going to need him down the stretch, yank him out, you're going to get the win. I said, what if Matt Olson, who was standing at the plate, what if he smacks one right off his forehead, right? And then Matt Olson took him out of the yard for a home run. But I said, what if he smacks one off his ankle, off of his forehead? How dumb do you feel if you are Rob Thompson?
I would guess that they probably, since Aaron Nola's kind of building back up, coming off the injured list, they had a target number of pitches they wanted him to throw and get to, like, whatever, 90 was the target. They wanted him to build up to that because he's had a lot of time off this year.
Absolutely.
Now, the line drive, you can't really do anything about it. You don't necessarily want Matt Olson to hit a line drive off one of your relievers either, although you're probably bringing in their lowest leverage guys with a double-digit lead at that point. So I can see at least, hey, let's stick with the plan. 90 pitches today.
Yep.
Then you can go up to 100 in your next start. But, you know, if it had been anyone else, I would totally agree with you.
Yeah, and like if it was Nick Pavetta, right? If Nick Pavetta is in the same situation this weekend, get him out of there. Like, save those
bullets.
The guy
who's not missed a start all year long, if you have an opportunity,
you have a 12-run lead
to save some innings on one of your starters, I totally agree with you there.
Yeah, it's a case-by-case basis. But I think our general point, Paulie and I kind of made the same point of don't change. Like, just go out and try to win tonight's game. Do what you have to do to win it. And at the end of the year, like, I don't want to get to that point where we're like, I don't want to blame Mike Schilt for his team playing hard for the next 28 games, right? I don't. Yeah. And if you get to October and you're a wild card and you don't have home field advantage, right? Or you do, whatever. Don't change who you are. No big drastic changes. You know, Bryce Johnson getting 4 or 5 starts a week just to get somebody rested. All of that. You know what, man? If you can't, and I said it yesterday, if you can't get up for playoff baseball, if you're too tired from the regular season, I can't use that as an excuse. It's the playoffs.
I know it feels that way. Didn't the Atlanta Braves last year, injury riddled, looked like they just had nothing left when they got to Petco Park
for
the wild card series?
I think it was because they were injury riddled, not because they had grinded so hard down the stretch.
Yeah, I'm not saying that you're resting guys necessarily to keep them fresh. You're resting guys to keep them from getting injured, so you're not injury riddled going into the playoffs.
Fair, but like again, you know, you also want those guys at the top of their game. And Christie says playing at home doesn't guarantee anything. Well, no, there are absolutely no guarantees. But the record at home is way better than the record on the road.
Given the choice, you want to play at home. Course, and yeah. You are somewhat given the choice because it's how well you play over these next
Correct.
4 weeks.
Correct. It's kind of in your hands to do it. It's also, you know, you need other teams to falter a little bit. But, you know, for Dylan Cease, perfect example, has not won a road start all year. So if you lose out on that wild card and home field advantage, you go to Chicago, Ben, right? Now, you could go Pavetta King Pavetta, and Dylan Cease starts a game here. Fine. But I think the home field advantage is really, really important for this team. They play really well here.
The rest of baseball yesterday, and cautionary tales, you know, as the Padres are heading into series against teams that are out of it, doesn't mean you can't lose games. The Mets lost to the Marlins 7-4. You know who started for the Marlins in that game? Adam Mazur. I had forgotten about Adam Mazur, but another former Padre.
Blissfully. Who won that game?
The Marlins.
The Marlins
7-4. Then they brought in Lake Bacher.
Okay,
another
one.
Padres minor
Heard
leaguer. And they beat the Mets, which means the Mets fall 3 games behind the Padres for the second seed. Mets are the third seed, and they are now 4 games ahead of the Cincinnati Reds, who are the first team out in the National League wild card race. And how about the Brewers? They're kind of cooling off a little bit as they lost to the Diamondbacks 6-4, ended up splitting that 4-game series. You know who started for the Diamondbacks and got the win yesterday?
Who?
Nabil Krisma.
What is happening right now?
5 2/3 innings, 2 earned runs, a walk, 2 strikeouts. He's now 2-0 for the Arizona Diamondbacks this season.
Of course he is. You hated Adam Mazur. Remember that, Paulie? Ray just reminded me.
Oh, yeah.
He loathed. That was one of your guys. Like, you absolutely loathed watching him pitch.
Wasn't my favorite watch,
no.
For sure.
No.
But he's back in the big leagues again.
Winning ball games. Yeah.
You mentioned the Phillies. Obviously, the story there was Kyle Schwarber's 4 home run night, a Philadelphia club record, 9 runs batted in, the 21st player in Major League Baseball history to hit 4 home runs in a game. Had a chance at 5, popped out in his last at bat. But
see, now, who took the loss for the Braves is Cal Quantrill.
Hey!
Seriously, though, he actually did.
Did he?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Did every single game involve a former Padres pitcher in Major League Baseball yesterday? We can go through the box scores to see if that
we
was
have to say,
true
sell
or not.
That. I'm sure Josh Stein knows that, but he's coming on in like 25 minutes. I would like to let it. Did you see last night where like 9 of your former prospects
did pitch? Kyle Schwarber win the MVP award last night? I know one night shouldn't be the difference maker, but
man,
he climbed within a 1 home run of Cal Raleigh for the Major League lead with 49. And certainly, you know, voters are going to be swayed by statements like that. And that was quite the statement by Kyle Schwarber last night.
He's going up against Shohei Ohtani.
Correct.
And, you know, I don't want to go back on what I've said, even back to Ohtani's Angel days, right? If Shohei Ohtani puts up a average pitching season and a 45 home runs, he's going to win the MVP. Mm-hmm. And I it doesn't bother me. I think he is a true unicorn. I would, for no other reason than to watch the meltdown, yeah, I'd give it to Kyle Schwarber. I'd love to see it. I would absolutely love to see it. It would make my day. What team are the Phillies cooked without Kyle Schwarber? Are the Dodgers cooked without Shohei Ohtani? You know, I think there's a case to be made.
A little bit of both.
They're both designated hitters. One just happens to pitch as well. Not saying Kyle Schwarber couldn't pitch if you would let him. I mean, he pitched in college, and he was a stud. He's a catcher too. He did it all. But Kyle, you know, does hitting a 4 home runs in a game, 49 homers, that guarantee you an MVP? There's still 28 games to go. There's a lot that can happen. But I think if Shohei's there and he's healthy, you have to give it to him. He does
you
both.
You don't have to give it to him.
You have to. Who's more valuable than a guy that doesn't take up 2 roster spots but does 2 things for you and hits prodigious, you know, amount of home runs and drives in runs, scores runs,
I wonder if
pitches.
It will be like Shohei fatigue, like you've seen
absolutely.
It in other
You've sports. Seen absolutely. Fatigue, yes.
I mean, Michael Jordan did not win the MVP every single year.
I think the voters will acknowledge your argument that he does so much. How can you not give him the award? But they will be looking for not give him the award. And Kyle Schwarber just gave them a big reason.
4 reasons and 9
reasons,
RBI.
Yeah, to not give, you know, Shohei Ohtani the MVP award.
You want to hear some of the audio from that real
yes,
quick?
Yes, please.
The 4th home run. I've got the Phillies radio broadcast.
15-4. Phillies lead it. But everybody looking for history from Kyle Schwarber. The 1-2 on the way. Swung on, hit deep right field, and there's history for Schwarber. It's his fourth home run of the night as Kyle Schwarber becomes the first Philly since Michael Jack Schmidt to hit four homers in a game. It's a three-run home run that gives him 9 runs batted in tonight.
Now, that was about 30 seconds. The Braves television feed wasn't that long.
Oh, my. He did it. 4 home run night for Kyle Schwarber.
That's a good call, though. Like, there was some some energy behind it because that is
a good oh my there.
That is badass, man.
And then here, Kyle Schwarber doing the post game radio broadcast with Philly Sam Levitt and
Philly Sam Levitt
dropped an S bomb.
Of course,
that beep out.
Yeah, you know, and I'm in the cage and I go, how many guys? I'm like, man, I'm going to get another at bat. I'm like, how many guys have hit 5? And no one said anything. I was like, oh, shit.
I was like, all right, I got to go for it. Hard to hit a home run off a position pitcher throwing 30 miles an hour. But
I love him.
Kyle Gashioka did it the other day.
He did.
A home run off a 36-mile-an-hour pitch off a position player.
It would be my best shot. I mean, honestly, like that would be the best shot that I would have at the big league level off a position player.
Elsewhere yesterday, the Yankees beat the White Sox 10-4. Do you know who came up in mop-up for the White Sox? Steven Wilson.
And still pitching.
Trent Grisham hit his 27th home run of the season.
Bananas.
Which kind of makes me feel like, okay, Yankees home runs are just not that. They're just not the same as everybody else's home runs.
I mean, I don't know. He always had that. He had the ability to do it. This is a really hard ballpark to hit a lot
of. Sure, they were on the road, so I guess, you know, can't blame Yankee Stadium for last night's home runs. Bellinger hit his 26th. Jazz Chisholm hit his 26th. I drool as a Padres fan.
Salivating.
Look at all these guys. Got so many home runs.
Over 25 homers. It's a dream. We don't have anybody over 25 homers, do we? Not one person?
Not anyone over 21 this season.
Great.
And then the Boston Red Sox completed a mop of the Baltimore Orioles. But, and you know, the Padres are about to face the Orioles. So you go, okay, this team is struggling. 3 of the games were one-run games, including yesterday's 3-2 win. Boston pulled it out with the run in the top of the 8th inning. So don't feel like the Orioles are going to be complete pushovers when the Padres host them next week. But they are a team that has been struggling. They're 14 games under 500 and going to have to cross the country to play that series against the Padres on Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday. So maybe you can get them when they're, you know, emotions are a little low at this point in the season.
Well, look, at the end of the day, I think you could probably take that out of the jargon for the next month. I don't think you're going to see a lot of teams roll over. In fact, you know, these games are a bit scary because we've talked about many times. Guys are playing for a gig. You know, guys are playing for a contract. Guys are playing to get noticed. Teams are bringing up young, hungry players that are like, I would love nothing more than to stick it to Manny Machado, Fernando Tatis Jr., Xander Bogaerts, all these, you know, all-stars and big money guys. Watch what I can do on the mound or watch what I can do in the outfield.
Right. We don't want it to happen to us, but we would love it for other teams to do it to the Dodgers.
Correct.
So,
correct.
You know that it's a risk, though, when it happens.
Yeah. I mean, look, there's not going to be a really comfortable night for any of us for the next 28. There's just not. It's not a comfortable time of year if your team is in it and making a push for a division and making a push for a home, you know, a wild card, top wild card seed. Like, it's not a fun. It's not fun.
They will fall behind in one of these next 9 games.
And you're going to panic.
And you're going to go, oh, no,
oh, boy.
This is,
yep. You'll
this
lose.
Is bad
you're going to get loose.
Of course,
you're
going to
lose. You're
going to get 9 of them. Yeah.
Get beat. But, yeah, it's a white-knuckle time of season.
All right, let's take a timeout. Don't Do This is coming up next. We can actually address the Micah Parsons story in Don't Do This because there are a number of Don't Do This elements that go along with the Micah Parsons story from yesterday. We'll get to that coming up next with more Ben and Woods on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fam. First, though, and I'm addressing this to, his name was Dustin, the golfer who played with Scott yesterday. Dustin, I've already lost the weight. You don't need to tell me to lose some LBs. I did it. I did it 2 years ago, in fact, thanks to SDFatLoss.com. I lost 40 pounds in 60 days. And guess what, Dustin? I have kept that weight off for 2 years, still looking and feeling great, thanks to the program at SDFatLoss.com. It's based on real foods. There's no injections, no exercise necessary. If you follow the plan, you will lose weight, up to a pound of fat per day and 10 to 20% of your body weight in just 60 days. It's a fact. You will lose weight. If you don't lose weight, they will figure out why, and they will get you on track for losing weight. They will coach you all the way through. They will then help you keep the weight off when it is done. So many tier ones have gone through the program already. People come up to me all the time and say, hey, did SCFatLoss.com? I lost 20 pounds. I lost 30 pounds. I lost 50 pounds. I've heard so many success stories. You can be the next one by signing up for a free consultation. Go to SDFatLoss.com. They'll explain how the program works for you. And still here at the end of the month of August, take $200 off with their summer special. I did it, Dustin. Anybody can do it. At SDFatLoss.com, results may vary.
Don't do this.
It's time for Don't Do This.
What were you thinking?
Three stories from the world of sports that make us all shake our heads.
Why?
How many times do I have to tell you?
I'm sorry, I fudged up, guys.
You idiot, you moron.
You dumbass.
The apple sometimes does far fall from the tree.
Don't do this.
Do not tweet that.
With Ben and Woods.
I like a Nickelback song or two.
On 97.3 The Fan.
Josh Stein coming up at the bottom of the hour in a Fryer Friday. First, though, Don't Do This is brought to you by Trust and Will.
Don't.
Leave your entire estate, kids, and house and life savings up to chance if and when you die.
Do.
Set up a Trust Your Will online at trustandwill.com.
This
is a lot more affordable than you think. Visit trustandwill.com for more info. Pauly actually brought this story up off the air yesterday, and I thought, well, this is a Don't Do This for the Dallas Mavericks. They've had a few of them this last year after trading away Luka Doncic to the Lakers.
This is the Here in Dallas edition of Don't Do This.
After all has been said about that trade and all the criticism they have received, they kind of, I think, don't want it to get pushed in their faces anymore. Luka Doncic is going to be featured on some billboards across the country, not because of his basketball skill, Woods, but because he is now a grandmaster in the game Overwatch. Like, okay. He's not just a basketball star, he's also a video game, apparently, expert for the game Overwatch. And it's part of a partnership. They're putting him on some advertising for Overwatch competitions. And one of the billboards that was going up was going to be right next to the American Airlines Arena.
Yeah, American Airlines Center. Yeah.
Yeah, in Dallas, where the Mavs play. Apparently, the Mavs, according to a report, have quietly requested that they move that billboard somewhere else. They do not want to see Luka Doncic's face.
Can you blame them,
though? Driving
you said it's a don't do this for the Mavs, but I don't know that you can blame them. Like, you have to put it here. It's a really good spot, by the way. Like, it's very high traffic. It's
a lot of cars going by that billboard. Yeah,
perfectly high profile area for that billboard to be. So I don't know. I mean, I kind of understand it a little bit. Move it a little bit down 35 is what you need.
Just a little further away.
Don't
need that shoved in our face every single day as we're heading into the arena.
Well, obviously, the Dallas Mavericks captivated the basketball world last year, and the Dallas Cowboys continue to captivate the football world while being a very mediocre team, you know, at least on paper. And they got rid of one of their best players yesterday. The Micah Parsons trade was official, was moved to the Green Bay Packers, Ben, yesterday. And, you know, you're reading, it's been an unfolding drama, right, with Jerry Jones, Micah Parsons. Jones believed he had been betrayed. Decided to take a stand against a player and an agent, essentially on principle, and ended up moving Micah Parsons to the Green Bay Packers, Benjamin, to help shore up their defense. He got back a one, a two, and then another defensive tackle.
Are those two ones?
Oh, two ones.
Yes, two first-round picks, and then a veteran defensive tackle.
Three-time Pro Bowl lineman.
So what, the next 2 years, first-round pick?
2026 and 2027 first-round
picks.
That's
right. And the Packers are going to be a pretty good team. So those picks will probably come, you know, towards the bottom of the draft, but you'll have two. You probably won't be a very good team, the Dallas Cowboys, because history has shown us they haven't really done much. Now, could this be an example, Benny, of, you know, addition by subtraction, right? Micah Parsons may be a problem. He didn't seem like he really wanted to be there. Fine. There's something to be said for moving a guy that, you know, is upset about something. Only time will tell, but honestly, the funny part is, and I said it to you yesterday, I go, oh, did you see the rumor? I think we were off the air. I said, you see the rumor about Micah Parsons? They may want to move him to the Packers. You go, there's no way Jerry Jones is going to move him. You weren't the only one. Michael Irvin had the same thought about a minute before the deal went down.
Or Adam. Right.
Yeah, this was on ESPN. Like, within 2 minutes of Schefty breaking the news of the trade, right, Michael Irvin was on NFL Live.
Our Adam Schefter reporting that the Cowboys are now listening to trade offers for Micah Parsons. What's your reaction to that?
Michael Parsons, hey, look, you can report all you want. There's no way they're allowing Michael Parsons to go anywhere. All of it, all of this is part of the negotiations. And as I talked to Jerry the other day on my podcast, and he was talking about it the other day when he tried to make that offer, he said somebody told him to shove it up his rear and all of that. Honestly, it blew my mind. It blew my mind that any kind of conversation like that would be going on in a situation like this. Michael Parsons, I want him to take control of this thing and say, I don't care about you two and whatever y'all got going. Get y'all butts in a room and get my money on that paper. That's what you need to be doing. So I'm hoping that's what gets done. But I guarantee Michael Parsons not going anywhere. Jerry's not that crazy.
This is what
we call just negotiation stuff.
Yes, he is. And I can't think of, a side note, I can't think of, except for maybe Eddie Vedder, a worse podcast guest to have than Jerry Jones. I listened to his press conference yesterday. I played it.
Glory hole.
I played it at dinner. We were eating dinner. I had to hear it. And Bo goes, what's his problem? Like, I'm like, well, he's 80 something years old. Number one, it doesn't flow like it used to. He got the dude's name wrong. Paulie's got that audio.
Like, try to figure this out.
Did I talk to Michael?
Micah,
his son, Micah.
About, I'm sorry, I didn't get to
Michael.
I mean, dude, the guy is
Micah. He's an idiot.
Maybe one of the reasons he wanted to leave is you didn't even know his name,
Michael. Did you talk to Michael? Did I talk to Michael? Micah. He's out of his mind, man. He's 80-something years old. His capacity is not what it once was.
I think,
and that's okay.
I saw a lot of incorrect takes. I had one, too. I didn't think Micah Parsons would be traded. Saw Andrew Brandt, the former GM of
the
Packers, say, I don't think there's any way the Packers would trade for Micah Parsons. That's not how they do business.
They did it,
but... Two number one seems like a lot, but if you're drafting in 2 years, if you get one Micah Parsons in the first round in 2 years, you've won, right? That's good drafting. So, I mean, you're guaranteeing yourself a Micah Parsons, by doing that.
How do you figure you're guaranteeing a Micah Parsons?
Because you just traded for him. He's now on your team.
Oh, the Packers.
Yes,
because you got those picks, you're guaranteed
to
draft.
They have a Micah Parsons now. Yeah, yeah, they had to give up 2 first-rounders. But
they got Micah Parsons.
If we could draft a player anywhere near as good as Micah Parsons, we're doing well.
You can
tell. Let's just guarantee ourselves and parlay that into Micah Parsons.
Boy,
right now,
you can tell we are AJ Preller fans, can't you? With that,
very AJ Preller like trade.
We've gotten the
Green Bay Packers pulled off.
We've gotten used to it. Now, normally, you'd see a team do that and you'd say, "Hey, listen, they're going for it, or they're trying. There's something we don't know." But I think when it comes down to Jerry Jones being the owner GM as he has for the last 30 years, and they haven't done anything. You know that the main culprit in all of this, the main culprit, was ego. That's the only thing. It has nothing to do. He started his press conference. Well, listen, we wanted to stop the run, and we couldn't for the last 4 years with Micah here. And we wanted to stop the run. That's what we've been needing to do. And you're like, you're just crapping on the guy that, like, even if he missed 4 games last year, he was still like a super otherworldly defender.
It's what AJ Preller does so well. He never says anything about a player after he's traded, other than positives.
Correct.
Like, oh, so tough to get rid of that guy. You're getting a great player in wherever, Miami, wherever we've sent, Baltimore. Love those prospects. You know, it's tough to get rid of them. Jerry goes, it wasn't that good anyway.
Elisa, he says, Peepaw vibes. Do you think he goes by Peepaw with his grandkid? Y'all come on and sit on Peepaw's lap over here. I guarantee you it's Peepaw or Papa. Come on,
wouldn't be surprised if he said, you can call me Mr. Jones.
Yeah, Jones. It's incredible.
Finally, a little doo-doo this
I could
for
listen
Friday.
To him talk all
DD
day.
DD mega doo-doo.
I'm going to give a doo-doo this to the New York Knicks. Almost broke the glass ceiling this week.
Yep.
It came out from Dawn Staley, the head coach at South Carolina, very successful college basketball head coach, that she was not only approached about the Knicks head coaching job, she got a a full interview and apparently was perhaps one of the finalists to get the open job this offseason. Now, she didn't get it, but I think it is... I think it's pretty impressive that the Knicks were open to considering that, and I think we're getting very close at some point. You're going to see probably a woman coaching an NBA basketball team within the next 5 to 10 years.
Yeah.
It's going to happen at some point, and Dawn Staley said if it was offered to her, as much as she loves South Carolina and coaching in college, she would have felt like that opportunity she would have had to have taken.
No question about it. You take that gig. That's awesome.
And that is Don't and Do This for a Friday.
That was Don't Do This with Ben and Woods on 97.3 The Fan.
All right, when we come back, Friar Friday, a little early today, Josh Stein, Padres assistant general manager, is going to join us. We'll talk about the farm system and more with Josh coming up next here on San Diego's number one sports station, 97.3 The Fan. First, though, Woods and I just told you the DDT brought to you by Trust and Will.
Yeah, don't.
We can expand a little bit more on this. Okay. No, this is the whole spot about getting your affairs in order, whatever age you are. If you've got a family, especially, if you've got kids and you don't have a will, at least to like spell out who the guardian for your kids should be. Do you know who gets to decide? Not you're thinking, oh, my mom will
she'll handle it, right?
That's not how it works. No. The state will decide who gets your kids, who is the guardian of your children if you don't spell it out. At the very least, you've got to do it for that, right?
Yeah, well, I mean, you know, here we are on our high horses now after getting our trust. Well, we waited 49, you know, we waited forever to do ours. And I'm not meaning to shame you, but I want to shame you a little bit. I want to guilt trip you into...
Not me, everyone
else. Yeah, everyone out there that hasn't done it. Just go to trustandwill.com. Listen, if you're like me, you're kind of lazy. You want it kind of spoon-fed to you. That's exactly what I needed. That's why they're perfect for us. Go to trustandwill.com. Use the code FAN when you check out. You'll get 20% off.
And remember, you want to avoid probate court as well. If it's about assets like a house, like a 401k, your family may not have access to it for months and months until they go through the process. Expensive, time-consuming, and avoidable based on the simple questions and answers. When you go to trustandwill.com, again, use the code FAN at checkout. Get 20% off. Free shipping of your estate documents at trustandwill.com. The Fan is brought to you by Park 101, multi-level sports bar and restaurant at the Carlsbad Village. Park 101 Sports Bar and Restaurant in Carlsbad. Catch the game with your fellow faithful this weekend as we take on Minnesota while sipping 22 ounces of Estrella Jalisco out of a souvenir bat. Park 101, Carlsbad Village, proud sponsor of the Padres Radio Network. All right, we're going to check traffic, and then Josh Stein, Padres assistant GM, is going to join us for a Friar Friday conversation up next here on The Fan. And we are joined right now by Padres assistant GM Josh Stein here on a Friar Friday. Josh, good morning.
Good morning, guys. How's it going?
Going well, man. I wonder if you were listening a few weeks back when I was on vacation in Kauai deadline, and everyone in town was really excited. I know you were excited and AJ was excited, but there was one guy stood alone about his lack of excitement for the moves, and it was Ben Higgins. Did you hear that morning show and your boss absolutely roast him?
You know, I heard the tail end of it. I didn't hear Ben's take at the beginning, but I did hear kind of AJ's response to it.
It was excuse me for being at least measured in my approach. Now, it's
That's
gone
fair.
Pretty well
That's
the last
fair.
Month, Josh. I must say that the moves have worked out. What's your take on how well the moves have worked out so far for your team?
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, obviously we went into that kind of period of time in the season with some real, you know, what we felt were, you know, needs to address on the roster, and you know, we're able to address those, you know, really, you know, kind of in a, you know, what we felt was a pretty creative fashion. And then, you know, to be able to go out and, you know, add, you know, a pitcher like Mason Miller, you know, to what was already a, you know, great strength of the team, you know, that was kind of the capper. I know, you know, kind of the sequence of events and the kind of the order of it, you know, might not have made, you know, all the sense in the world as it was happening, but, you know, kind of, you know, what our vision was and what we were kind of trying to line up throughout the course of that week. And, you know, that morning in particular, we had a pretty good idea of, you know, being able to address all the needs of the club.
No, it was certainly a frenetic day, as it oftentimes is at the trade deadline for the San Diego Padres, Josh. And, you know, I wanted to ask you this, and this isn't to denigrate anybody that's been here before. This is just, it seems like the guys that you added fit in immediately, right? There was no, it didn't feel square peg, round hole. You know, it was like, let's acquire this guy because, well, I mean, we can. Like, these were needs. You guys addressed them. But I think the character and the makeup of these guys maybe is different than anybody we've seen. And they just seem to fit so seamlessly in this lineup and with this team.
Yeah, I mean, I think, you know, it's, you know, I agree with you, and I think that's a, you know, it's certainly intentional and on a couple of fronts. I think, you know, obviously in the scouting of these players and, you know, trying to identify, you know, not just their physical abilities, but who they are as players, you know, maybe their journeys to get to the spots they've gotten to, you know, whether it's, you know, like an all-star season from a, you know, a Ryan O'Hearn or, you know, like a Freddie Fermin who's been, you know, backing up a Hall of Fame catcher. But, you know, I think we were, you know, very intentional in terms of, you know, looking for players that, you know, we felt would, you know, fit with the team that we had based on certainly skill set. That's always going to be, you know, the driving factor, but also, you know, the roles and, you know, competitive situations that they may have been in the past and, you know, would be coming into. And then, you know, I know Mike's talked about it and, you know, Schulte, and I think this is a very important element as well, you know, blending, you know, the new players with, you know, players on our team that may be, you know, facing somewhat diminished roles and, you know, working through that, you know, as a coaching staff and as an organization. I mean, there's an art to that. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's something that, you know, that we've done very well here, especially this year. And, you know, I think that, you know, that's when you look at the byproduct and you see kind of the guys saying the right things and, you know, it seeming to fit together well. I think it's a function of those two things, like identifying those people at the front end and then, you know, having a situation, a team, an environment that's, you know, prepared, you know, when they do show up and walk through those doors.
You know, I've noticed that sometimes, Josh, the move that flies under the radar turns out to be more impactful than we as fans imagine. We talked so much about Mason Miller and, of course, Ramon Laureano and Freddie Fermin and Ryan O'Hearn that the Nestor Cortes trade seemed like kind of a bit of an afterthought. So Brandon Lockridge, who, of course, you know, we enjoyed here but wasn't playing a critical role with the team. And then Nestor Cortes is coming off a great start against the Dodgers, gets another big one tonight. But you also got a prospect in that deal. So
yeah.
I'm curious about that one because we're hearing good things about Jorge Quintana and what he's done since just the brief time he's been in the Padres system. Tell me more about that trade and who you picked up in that deal as well.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of the more, I would say, unique ones just because, you know, Nestor was on an extended rehab assignment and had been on the 60-day IL, was really, you know, spent the bulk of the year, on the IL coming back from a forearm injury. And, you know, I think, again, you always learn in these jobs and in these roles. And, you know, I think that, you know, there's the adage, you can never have, you know, too much pitching. And I go back to, you know, a few years ago, us deciding to kind of roll with what we felt was a lot of very good, young, you know, starting pitching, you know, and felt like we had enough to withstand. And almost immediately, you know, after the deadline, you know, we had a couple of our starters go down with injuries and you're sitting there saying, wow, we've got to go to the waiver wire. We've got to look to, you know, to recently release players. And so, you know, part of it is, you know, part of that trade and part of really going out and, you know, we knew we were going to be trading some of our starting pitching depth in some of these trades. And knowing that not only did we need to replenish to get back to five starting pitchers, but like you really need to think beyond that, right? You need to say, hey, what if, you know, this doesn't happen or this pitcher, you know, isn't able to come back from injury. So, you know, I think getting Nestor, and getting that depth, you know, certainly a veteran pitcher that's pitched in a lot of big games, big situations, you know, someone that when he's healthy and takes the ball, we have a ton of confidence in. And then, to your question about Jorge Quintana, I mean, that's, you know, there was a couple teams that were really interested in Brandon Lockridge and, you know, so we were able to, you know, leverage that and talk about, you know, getting something back in addition to Nestor Cortes in that deal. And, you know, we had a lot of back and forth with the Brewers in those morning hours and probably exchanged, I don't know, half a dozen names and ultimately got to a player in Jorge Quintana that, you know, we have scouted down in Arizona. Matt Thomas, our scout down there, you know, it gets back to really being where the players are that you can acquire, right? And scouting the players that you can acquire. And so, you know, even though Jorge Quintana doesn't have a long track record in professional baseball, he's someone that we've seen and we're interested in, and, you know, plays a, you know, is really a plus defender up the middle, you know, switch hitter. You know, we're intrigued by some things that he can do offensively, but also just great makeup, great personality that we've seen, you know, both before and after acquiring him. And when you can add a player like that at the same time as acquiring starting pitching depth, it's a real win for the organization.
Talking to Padres assistant GM Josh Stein here on Ben and Woods this morning. And Josh, you know, you look at the rankings that come out after you guys trade a bunch, and, you know, maybe 7 years ago when we first started doing this together as a show, I think the panic would have set in. And based on your track record, AJ's track record, the last couple of years, I mean, this is like the fourth year in a row. Everyone has said they don't have the prospects to trade, so they're not going to be able to do much at the deadline. And lo and behold, you added everything you really needed to make a push. So now it sits at number 30 out of 30. I know how you guys view it as a challenge. So when does, I'm sure it's already started, but like, walk us through what you want to do to get that number back up to, you know, something that you guys are happy and comfortable with.
Yeah, I mean, it is a challenge, and you know, that's a good word for it. I don't think it's unique to the Padres, and I certainly don't think it's not one that we haven't, you know, faced before. I mean, I'll say this. I mean, in the you know, probably, I don't know, an hour, 2 hours after the deadline, we're all kind of sitting there dazed. The adrenaline's kind of worn off, and Chris Kemp, who, again, I mean, you talk about, you know, what you have to give up in these trades, right? We're trading, whether it's Leo DeRees or whether it's Boston Bateman and you know, a number of players that we drafted, and we get invested in these players, right? We scout them, we get to know them, we get to know their families. So, you know, Chris is very invested in these players, but Chris Kemp gets up in the front of the room and starts just writing and ranking our top 30 prospects, and are kind of sitting there all watching, maybe, you know, a few people weighing in, and, you know, looking at the state of our current farm system. And I think the general feeling is there's still a lot there.
Yep.
I mean, we don't feel like we have a barren farm system at all. Ultimately, you know, the public rankings are what they are. You know, what we've often maintained, and what you probably heard AJ talk about, is, you know, if teams are calling us and engaging with us in trade discussions, they tend to be interested in the players that we have in our farm system, you know, and, you know, so I think that speaks really to the continued strength. I'm not going to say we're a top 10 farm system in the game right now, but I also, you know, I don't frankly agree with, you know, the current rankings that are out there. But getting back to your question, I mean, yeah, it's an everyday challenge in baseball operation. It's one that, you know, I think we all embrace. It's one that, you know, whether it's Chris Kemp overseeing our amateur and international scouting group, and them, you know, texting almost immediately, getting on the horn, being like, all right, time to reload, let's get after it, and, you know, getting out to the next amateur showcase, or, you know, it's Pete DeYoung and, you know, right now overseeing our pro scouting group, and, you know, really focused on, okay, you know, who are the looks that we need to get, you know, over the next, you know, month and a half while the minor league season's going on, because, you know, we're going to be shortly getting into Rule 5 draft discussions. We're going to be talking about minor league free agents, and certainly augmented by, you know, very strong research and development department and analysts that are always flagging and identifying, you know, interesting candidates to go for our scouts to go out and, you know, see. So it really is like a, you know, it is a challenge. It's a everyday process. It doesn't change just because we've traded a number of prospects. And I think that, you know, that a lot of that stems back to, you know, just AJ's philosophy of a scouting and player development driven organization, and identifying players every year. You know, we talk about it a lot. We cannot miss in the draft. We can't miss. Every organization could say that,
yeah.
But I think it's a mantra that we really try and live by, and treat that as one of the most important days of every year.
It's true. We were laughing about it earlier, going through the box scores yesterday, and just seeing how many former Padres and Padres pitchers appeared in games yesterday. Oh, there's Adam Mazur. There's Stephen Wilson.
Yeah, we talk about it. Yeah.
Just all over the place. But, you know, speaking of pitching for next season, just quickly, I wanted to ask you this. With Burgert and Kolek and Braden Nett all traded, King and Cease free agents to be. Who do you have in the organization that you identify either in the minor leagues or in the bullpen that could be potential starters for you guys next year?
Yes, I mean, it's a good question. I mean, I think like we're, you know, we do expect to get a, you know, a pretty good one back in Joe Musgrove. So that's going to be a big, big one that we anticipate slotting back in. And yeah, we did trade, you know, some of our upper level pitching depth. You know, obviously we did also backfill it, and, you know, whether it's, a JP Sears, who we're going to have, you know, here in this organization, you know, for a number of years moving forward. You know, these guys aren't really, I wouldn't consider them minor leaguers, but, you know, Randy Vasquez, JP Sears, obviously Matt Waldron, what he did last year, and still having a lot of faith, especially in Matt, you know, with the knuckleball, more probably, you know, at the major league level than in some of the AAA ballparks that he's had to pitch in. But, you know, going a level below, you know, some of those names that I know, you know, fans are very familiar with. I mean, you know, one player we, you know, we're very high on that got asked about in a number of trades that we did not move as a starter at Double A, Miguel Mendez, 23 years old, another, you know, kind of under the radar international scouting find, and you know, in the upper 90s, and you know, as a wipeout slider, a good developing changeup. You know, someone that we think very highly of. There's other starters there as well, Jagger Haynes. You know, Eric Yost, guys that, you know, we've promoted, you know, this year up to that Double A level. So, you know, again, that is the challenge, and it'll always be the challenge, is to replenish that starting pitching depth. I think, to your point, you know, Ben, in terms of like relievers, I think that's something, you know, we've always had an eye on, right? You know, whether it was transitioning Stephen Kolick this year, you know, Michael King last year, Seth Lugo. I think that's something that we do have an eye on as an organization, and, you know, feel like, you know, with Ruben, Ben Fritz, our entire kind of pitching group, excuse me, it's an area that, you know, that we can continue to look at guys. I have a few ideas.
Yeah,
probably
you don't
not
have
gonna
to share
my
them all.
Hand
we get
in
it.
Terms of who those are right
we get it,
now.
Josh,
but,
that's
for us to speculate.
We appreciate
Steiner.
It, Josh.
Thank
it's
you,
always great to have you on a Friar Friday. Thank you so much.
All right, thank you both.
Appreciate it.
Josh Stein, Padres assistant GM. I knew he probably wouldn't say specifically. We're
Mason Miller,
Mason
David
Miller,
Morgan,
David
yeah.
Morgan, but I thought I'd ask. All right, we'll wrap that interview up on the other side next year on The Fan.